Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps. I'm sure you've sung that one. And if you have, if you've sung it in English, I've never sung it in its original German, I believe. If you've sung it in English your entire life, you might have someone thank for that. Because, look, you hand me a German hymn and I will be able to sound out the words and work my way through it, but I won't know what most of it says, even though I did spend a semester taking German, and the dear, blessed, sainted Wayne Schmidt would probably be ashamed of me for saying that I've lost most of it. I don't speak that language at home or in any sphere of my life, but so many of the good songs of the church have come down to us in languages other than our own. How dependent we are on those who know both and are able to translate the old into our languages. Now Thank We All Our God is just one example. You know, you talk about overachievers, and here is a woman, Catherine Winkworth, who translated that hymn into English, who devoted her life to translating him, and she is, I think it's fair to say, unparalleled in her output. She was prodigious. Over 400 hymns she brought into a new language. Joining us to talk about this 19th century English hymn translator, Catherine Winkworth. She was born on the 13th of September back in 1827. Dr. John Vicker, he's senior assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. John, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be here.
How do you characterize the contribution of a woman who, is it fair to say, devoted her life, her adult life, to this task of translating hymns into new languages?
Yes, Catherine Winkworth was a versatile woman, but she's primarily remembered for her hymn translations of German hymns into English. Before she came along in the 19th century, there were several other translators who had done spots here and there in the 17th and 16th century, maybe 30 hymns at a time. But with Catherine Winkworth, she translated over 400, and in a style and in a language that was usable in the 19th century. Her ability as a poet and as a literary expert and her knowledge of the languages was complemented all of the work that she brought into this task. And the Missouri Synod, for instance, was formed in 1847. And from the beginning, almost, they knew they were going to have to minister in English somewhere, even though they were a German synod. If they had tried to put together an English language hymnal of German hymns in 1850, they would have utterly failed, because there weren't any. By the end of the 19th century, a half century later, Catherine Winkworth had made that possible.
Now, so it is literally true that if you know this hymn, have sung it in English, and it was originally written in German, many of them you have Catherine Winkworth to thank for.
Absolutely. I mean, even in our own hymnal and Lutheran service book.
What, 44, 45?
45, something? I count. 45 hymns, sometimes only a stanza or two are from her translation, but most of the time it's the entire hymn. You get into TLH Lutheran hymnal and you're into 70 hymns translated by Winkworth. So her contribution, at least for those Lutherans and others who like to sing German hymns, want to sing German hymns in English, she's the man, or the woman, as the case may be.
Why was it necessary? And this is something that we forget so easily. We are just generations removed, as Americans, from a time when this was a genuinely polylingual country, mm-hmm. when German was almost at one point the national language, because there were more German speakers than there were English speakers. At one point earlier in our history. And I think what irritates me about it, John, is often Lutherans will say, oh, yeah, we old Lutherans, we were sticks in the mud who were still speaking German when everyone else was mm-hmm. walking around speaking English. Mm-hmm. And that's simply not the case. The mm-hmm. transition from German to English, why was it necessary for everybody?
Well, you have to kind of look at the Missouri Synod's piece on that a little bit differently than the other Lutherans who had come a century before and were thoroughly Americanized by the time the Missouri Synod was formed and were speaking English. They did speak German, and many of them did still worship in German, and there were hordes of Germans coming in the 19th century, the second half of the 19th century. For instance, 1880 to 1890 was the decade of the most German immigration ever, 1.5 million. The Missouri Synod, though, they were kind of stuck in a German ghetto, I will say.
And we were also late arrivals.
And we were late arrivals, and we were kind of stuck in – there were, you know, three or four generations of people who'd been living in this country. They certainly understood and spoke English, but they also spoke German at home, and they worshipped in German. So we were reluctant and slow at making that transition. But – moving in our worship forms, especially with the advent of the 1912 hymnal, the Evangelical Lutheran Hymn Book, that kind of opened the door. And with the advent of World War I and a couple of years later, it was very clear. It wasn't a matter of if, but just now. We must transition.
What to talk about her task mm-hmm. at which she excelled so greatly, what does it take to translate a hymn from one language to another?
I like to talk about that task as a sliding scale between poetic beauty and accuracy to the text. So, for instance, you can translate, let's take the first line of, "Now thank we all our God." Nun danket aller Gott in German. Now thank we all our God. That's a pretty good translation of the German. There are other ways you could translate that line if you've ever studied another language. The problem with a hymn is you've got to make it have the right number of syllables, an accent on the right syllable, you know. Nun danket alle Gott. Now thank we all our God. It's got to have the right number of syllables, and it's got to rhyme. And words in German don't necessarily rhyme the same way that they rhyme in English.
That's like juggling.
It's juggling. And then in German you have a lot of what they call feminine endings or weak endings, where it's a da-da, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. Gesehen, gehen, all of these German words. English doesn't have many that do that. So you're kind of stuck with a smaller possibilities to make things rhyme at the end. So these are the – you're struggling between this, I want to make it sound pretty, but I also want it to be accurate to the original.
And you are trying not only to keep meter, but you're keeping meter perhaps because you also have a tune.
Yes.
That has been welded to that text. And you want to keep it.
Yes, you do. Now, Winkworth showed some variety in her earlier translations. In her, she did two volumes titled Lyra Germanica, which means songs, German songs, and then she did a second volume. In those earlier volumes, she would play with the meter a little bit. In other words, if the original German meter was too weird, she would shorten it or make it a little more usable. Sadly, they didn't go then with the German chorales. So she did another volume a few years later called Chorale Book for England, in which she included the chorale melodies, the music, along with the texts, and those matched up. So many of the ones that we would use came out of that second set.
So what drove her to do this? I mean, you don't just translate 400 hymns because you got time on your hands. This is work, work, work. What drove her to do it?
Well, she was a very interesting character. She never married. She was very bright. She was reading fluently by the time she was 3, speaking by the time she was 18 months. And she was privately educated. She learned Latin, Italian. Her mother died when she was about 14, and her father quickly remarried. They sent Catherine and her sister Susanna to Dresden for a year so the stepmother could settle in with the new dad.
Get out of the house.
Yeah, let's send the girls away because okay. We want to make this work. So she went to Dresden, and her German became very good. And then a few years later, she met this fellow by the name of Bunsen, who was a diplomat to England. He was the ambassador from Germany to England. And he encouraged her to begin translating hymns. And that's how it got started. And she began to find her niche and began to enjoy this and eventually published a collection, like I said, the Lyra Germanica, and it was an instant success. So she began to have a reputation for this.
So is it, and we have a hard time thinking of that in a time when everything gets translated. You could just type something into Google and it'll translate for you. It's not a great translation, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, you can get the sense mm-hmm of it. These hymns had not been sung by English speakers before this, if they hadn't been translated before this. They just didn't have access to them.
They did not. And if you were to type the German into Google even today, you wouldn't get it to rhyme. Mm-hmm. It would be a literal translation and it wouldn't have the right amount of syllables. So, yes, she opened the world to British hymnody, to English language hymnody. We should also say a little bit about the state of English language hymnody at this time. You may not be aware, but in the Church of England, you were not allowed to sing any hymns other than psalms or psalm paraphrases up to about 1820.
Was that the Calvinist influence?
It was the Calvinist influence. Mm-hmm. So they did not have a strong tradition of congregational song about hymns not relating to psalmody. The laws changed, and that opened up the floodgates for 19th-century hymnody in the Church of England, of which she was a member. And they started publishing hymnals, and publishers loved publishing hymnals because that was good money. Hymns Ancient and Modern, and then all of the collections that Winkworth produced and others.
Dr. John Vicker is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back 10 more minutes with him on this Thursday afternoon, September the 11th. We are talking about 19th century English hymn translator Catherine Winkworth. She was born on the 13th of September in 1827. Dr. Vicker is senior assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will your church be one of the issues at Cetera 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, "A Changeless Christ for a Changing World." While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the Church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in His Church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hymnody is important, very important. It's an invaluable tool that helps teach and confess the faith. Singing hymns is something we all do together on a weekly basis, yet some congregations find it difficult to sing confidently without the support of an instrument. If you are one of these congregations that can't find an organist, Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows your hymns and liturgy to be played on your instrument to help inspire and support your congregation's song. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Thank you.
the text of another familiar hymn that we can credit to, at least in part, to Catherine Winkworth, remembered on the day of her birth, September 13th, 19th century English hymn translator. Dr. John Vicker is our guest here on Issues, Etc. for the next 10 minutes as we talk about her. Now, this is, I don't want to make any generalizations about her, but there are criticisms that have been leveled against her translations, especially kind of late 21st century criticisms, that because she was an Anglican, she might have anglicized, not just Englishized, but some of that Calvinism found its way into the translation of German hymns. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I think her views on scripture and on theology shifted as she grew older. She definitely started out as a very thoroughgoing Calvinist, an evangelical version, you know, on the evangelical side of Anglicanism, raised in a thoroughly Anglican home. So other hymn writers like John Newton and Augustus Montague, Toplady, these very thoroughgoing Calvinists would have been influenced her. Her piety at home, the way her parents raised her, was to know the Bible and to know Jesus. She had a bit of a crisis in her teenage years, like, of course, many of us did and do, was influenced, kind of came under the influence a little bit of some Unitarianism and what we would call broad church Anglicanism. That kind of Anglicanism has a low view of Scripture, tends to be higher critical.
It's Enlightenment Anglicanism.
It's Enlightenment Anglicanism and doesn't like the reforms of the Tractarians of the day. The high Catholic view of Anglicanism. But as, Robin Lever observes, as she grew older, she became much more comfortable and began to have a higher view, once again, of Holy Scripture. And you see that also in her hymn translations. Now, she has been criticized at times because there are cases where she leaves out some of the sacramental language. One example would be the last stanza of that great Wake Awake for Night is Flying by
Gerhard,
Philip Nicolai.
Oh, Nicolai, that's right.
In that, I need a hymnal in front of me, but that one Eucharistic stanza, we follow all into the hall, then to the supper to receive, or however it goes. I'm not very good at quoting hymns. I should be.
You've only made your life work
kind
out of it.
Kind of pathetic, but... there's an example where she left out this great sacramental language. Abendmahl is the German there, you know, Lord's Supper talk. Okay. Well, you know, you start to look at the text she was working with. What was she working with the German text? You think, well, she must have been working with the original that Nicolai produced. Well, no. In this and many other hymns, she was working with a text that Bunsen had given her, her mentor. And Bunsen was a rationalist. And he had produced a hymnal collection that he thought everyone in German should use. It should become, you know, ein Reich, ein Führer, ein Gesangbuch, you know, one hymnal for everyone. That didn't happen, of course. But these texts were rationalist and had already been corrupted. So some of the non-sacramental language that slips in to her translation is a result of not having had access to the original.
So we can't blame her necessarily. When the English translation, someone finally comes and looks at Philip Nicolai's original and says, wow, why is this missing from my English hymnal? Why haven't I been singing this my whole life? We can't blame Catherine Winkworth for that in every case.
Not in every case. And I think that's why one should be careful and take a look at what was Bunsen giving, what had she used to establish the text. And in many cases, it would have been about a Bunsen's collection, and in many cases, those texts would have been corrupt.
I guess we also need to realize that nowadays, and you know this very well since you put a hymnal together over the last couple decades, you know, you can't just change things without getting proper permissions. This is the world we live in today. Mm-hmm. But I imagine in the late 18th, 19th century, it was much easier to alter hymns without anybody sending in the lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Well, copyright law was beginning to take shape already in the mid 19th century, certainly in England and elsewhere. But it was a lot easier to fix. And today now all of her texts are in the public domain, so we can alter anything we want. In fact, I don't think there's a single text in LSB that doesn't have that little ALT after her name, because virtually all of it has been altered in some fashion.
You said her English worked very well in the 19th century. It was very good 19th century, usable English.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself needing to do the alterations because of that, because we are now a century and more beyond? Or how much of the alterations have been necessary because of theological issues, would you say, with her translations?
You know, it's a mix. You know, we certainly fixed that one line from Wake Awake for Night is Flying because of theological reasons. In other cases, it was, she used, a sooth foreseen or some archaic sounding words or even obsolete language that no one would understand. So that can happen. So, you know, it's a mix. I'd have to really study it to know.
What would you personally, having looked at her and worked with her material as the compiler of a hymnal yourself, what would you say emerges as her best work, her best translations that have stood the test of time and really where you say, you know, she did a great job, she built a foundation upon which we can continue to stand today in her translation?
Well, there are so many, but she brought into English some of the key hymns that we need to have as Lutherans and that we made as Lutheran contribution to the world of hymnody. So Luther's We All Believe in One True God. You know, that's a big one. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. That's another one. Let us all with gladsome voice. Wake, awake, for night is flying. From depths of woe I cry to thee. When in the hour of deepest needs. I mean, there are so many.
Would some of these perhaps still be lost to us?
Oh, yes.
English speakers, if she hadn't done the work she did when she did it?
Yes, they would be, and I would argue that there are many still that remain out there lost that are quite good. When we went to English, we lost 2/3 of our German hymnody, got left behind, the Left Behind series.
Really? I mean, left behind?
Left behind.
As yet still remaining unsung in English?
Yes. By and large, you know, certainly 50% of what we had in our German hymnal did not make it into English.
So finally here with about 30 seconds, sounds like we need more Catherine Winkworths to put their pens to paper. How would you encourage someone who says, look, I got a proclivity for the languages. I know what I'm doing. I'm not the greatest poet, but I might be able to start the work. How would you encourage someone to take up that monumental task? About 30 seconds.
Well, we have Matthew Carver, who translated Walther's hymnal into English. So he's a very fine poet and translator. So you got some tough sledding against Matthew Carver there. But you don't have to know a language to translate from that language. You have to get someone to give you a literal translation of that hymn, line by line, and then if you are a decent poet, you can begin to put it into good English. Stephen Starkey has done that with a number of hymns that he didn't know. He didn't know Ethiopian or whatever, but someone gave him a literal translation, and he's a superb poet, our finest.
So it could be a team effort.
It can be a team effort.
Dr. John Vicker is Senior Assistant to the President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. John, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much. He even brought me his doctoral dissertation, monograph based on that. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Pastor Jonathan Fisk about some recent comments made by Emergent Church leader Brian McLaren. He says we are in the age of Bible 3.0. He says Bible 1.0 was the medieval church. Bible 2.0 was kind of the time of the Reformation, and now he says we're in a new era of biblical interpretation, inerrancy, and inspiration that, by the way, according to Brian McLaren, doesn't include inerrancy or inspiration. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to him. There you will find his words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.